AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News, I'm Ben Thomas.
The yeas are 80, the nays are 15.
The Senate has moved quickly on a bill aimed at averting a nationwide rail strike.
The joint resolution is passed.
It binds rail companies and their workers to a deal brokered in September, but rejected by four of the 12 unions involved. The measure now heads to President Biden for his signature. Biden is hosting a state dinner tonight for French President Emmanuel Macron. The two met at the White House today. Sagar Magani reports trade differences shadowed the meeting, but the two leaders said there's no end to areas where Washington and Paris are in lockstep.
At a joint news conference, the president said he wouldn't bother listing it all.
We'd be here until dinner time.
And through an interpreter.
I could carry on during the entire afternoon.
From Ukraine to China, each man appeared eager to give the other credit, particularly in one area.
And we want to particularly thank President Macron for his efforts to help bring about the historic maritime boundaries agreement between Israel and Lebanon.
So let me be honest, I think most of the work was yours.
But we needed a closer to get the job done, and you did it.
After dinner with their wives on the Georgetown waterfront last night and hugs and handshakes today, the two leaders called each other friends. Macron repeatedly referred to Dear Joe. Sagar Magani, Washington.
The European Union is working toward a $60 per barrel price cap on Russian oil. It's designed to keep the oil flowing while clamping down on Moscow's ability to fund its war in Ukraine. The Supreme Court says the Biden administration program to cancel student loans will remain blocked for now, but the justices will take up the case in late winter. In economic news, an inflation gauge tracked by the Fed slowed in October, prices up 6% over last year. On Wall Street, stocks ended mixed. The Dow and S&P down, the Nasdaq up. This is AP News.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuck It stores or at untuckit.com. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
The holidays are here. Achieve gifting greatness when you give perfectly aged, tender, delicious Omaha steaks. The steak experts at Omaha Steaks have curated special gift packages to take the guesswork out of gifting and make you a holiday hero. At omahasteaks.com, use code SIZZLE at checkout for $30 off your order. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship, so shop early and beat the rush. Visit omahasteaks.com, use code SIZZLE at checkout to get that extra $30 off. Minimum.
The Downtown Waukesha Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 4th, and WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM is proud to cover all the festivities. Parade coverage starts at 3 p.m. The coverage is brought to you by Mia's Kitchen and Pizzeria, delicious, fresh, homestyle Italian, and Planned Parenthood. Care no matter what. Affordable health care without judgment. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. And Albanese's Roadhouse, authentic Italian family restaurant, sports bar and grill.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand?
You hold my hand!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
For
Civic Media. I'm Jane Matmere with your headlines. The Wisconsin Election Commission has agreed to postpone a massive data request for statewide voter registration lists, including contact information, until it's decided who will be the Republican chair of the Assembly Elections Committee this month. The current chair, Representative Janelle Branchon, initially requested 20 years of data in January. This is a limited version of that request. The WEC estimates it will cost over $49,000 and take close to 2 weeks to fulfill that request. Branchon expelled from the closed GOP caucus in November after her colleagues said they couldn't trust her. It's unlikely that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss will reappoint her as committee chair. The information will likely still be of interest. A Marquette poll showed that 60% of Republicans surveyed are either not too confident or not confident at all in the results of the 2020 election. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
In the winter hours and menu at scotchamamas.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake. All over the Civic Media Network, all over Turtle Island. We're here at our home base in St. Paul, but we appreciate everyone in the Wisconsin state, in the North and South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, and also Canada that listen to us. Wendy, go ahead, say something, Wendy.
Chicago, too.
Say it.
Chicago, too.
Hey, Wendy's back on, and we got Robert Lilligren today and Wendy with her sacred animal section. And then we always start out with what portion?
This portion of the show.
Oh, go ahead, Wendy.
You go, Ogama.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Wrong one. Okay. Hey, I know people like Halloween. Howling Wendy. I can't talk.
We're going to do that later on.
Right on. Hey, so Ogama, she does the news that you don't hear anywhere else. So why don't we get on with Ogama here and listen to what news? I just want to give a quick shout out to Gaylord Perry, who's a Hall of Fame pitcher who just passed on. And also our Fleetwood Mac sister, McVie, who passed on too, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so hey, take it away, Ogama.
Hey, bonjour, Ani, and everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe, and I have some news for you here on Native Roots Radio. I wanted to talk a little bit about our relatives over in Wisconsin today, Robert, since you brought them up first. And the reason for that is the Associated Press dropped the story today about the federal judge and what has been ordered when it comes to the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa suing Enbridge in federal court in 2019. They were trying to sue Enbridge Energy and force them to remove a section of the Line 5 pipeline that runs across the tribe's reservation in northern Wisconsin, and they argued that the 70-year-old pipeline poses an unreasonable risk to health and safety. Enbridge, on the other hand, agreed and plans to build a $450 million pipeline that would run 41 miles around the reservation, but would still traverse through the Bad River watershed. The U.S. District Judge William Conley said in an order earlier this week that there is a risk of significant rupture and the resulting spill could cause a catastrophic impact to the Bad River watershed. And while he has allowed to have Line 5 continue operating underneath the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa's lands, the company and the tribe must create an emergency plan together. So he told the company and the tribe to meet and talk about installing emergency shutoff valves and developing a protocol for shutting down and purging the line by December 17th. And they have to submit those proposals by December 24th. So a win and a loss, I think, there, Robert and Wendy. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, a win and loss sounds about right. Right when?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people who are opposed to the Line 5 pipeline are really disappointed that the judge didn't shut the line down. For those of you who don't know, for those who are listening in Wisconsin, Line 5 carries 23 million gallons of oil and natural gas liquids daily and stretches 645 miles from Superior and through northern Wisconsin and into Michigan up to Sarnia on Ontario. Much of what is in that pipeline is not legally required to be disclosed. It's kind of like KFC's secret recipe. You don't exactly know what's in there. And Enbridge has a long history of rupturing not only their pipelines in the case of the Kalamazoo River in Michigan and several other places here in Minnesota, but Enbridge also has a long history of damaging watersheds, especially here in Minnesota. Healing Minnesota Stories and Scott Russell, the runner of that, has just posted a new photo essay about Enbridge needing about 20,000 cubic feet of grout or concrete to plug a Line 3 aquifer breach near Fond du Lac. In 2021, Enbridge's Line 3 construction workers had breached an aquifer in St. Louis County, about 400 feet west of the Fond du Lac Reservation. What Enbridge had not done prior to that and what the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources did not require was any analysis of the hydrology of the area. So right now, the St. Louis County breach took about 7 months to prepare. The breach occurred in September of 2021, and the repair was reported completed on April 7th of 2022. And it released more than 263 million gallons of groundwater. And it took 24/7 grouting activities, which is basically cement, to start the repair and to finish it. And it required about 20,000 cubic feet of grout to fix. That's about building a wall 2 feet thick, 20 feet tall, and 500 feet long through an aquifer. Line 3 was crossing a swamp, a shrub car wetland in the winter of 2020 and 2021, and workers drove sheet piling about 27 feet into the ground to keep the construction area dry. And when they pulled that sheet piling, they realized that they had broken an aquifer cap. Artesian aquifers are water under pressure underground, and they're held down by an aquifer cap and a confining layer. And if that cap is broken, the groundwater rushes to the surface. And basically, the St. Louis County site was made up of native silts and fine sands and fragile, according to Enbridge. And they just did not take the care to listen to their permit here in Minnesota. I do believe their permit was for sheet piling was no more than 20 feet into the ground, and they went 27 feet. This is not the only aquifer breach here in Minnesota. Currently, the state of Minnesota has disclosed that there have been 3 aquifer breaches by Enbridge Energy in Minnesota, but citizen scientists are suspecting that there are more breaches of either groundwater or leaks of drilling mud from when the line was installed here for Line 3 in Minnesota. So for those of you that are listening over in Wisconsin, Line 5 is knocking at your door, and there's damage and there's danger afoot. So if you have not yet, make sure to get over to Oil and Water Don't Mix, and also to stopline3.org, and you can find resources for what you need to know about the truth about Line 5 coming through Wisconsin and actions that you can take. It's always a good idea to talk to your representatives about that. And that's all I have to say on that topic. I also wanted to note something that I missed earlier in the month. Tim Giaggio, who's Oglala Lakota, was the founder and publisher of the Lakota Times, Indian Country Today, the Lakota Journal, and Native Sun News, and also helped to found the Native American Journalists Association, which is soon to be changing to the Indigenous Journalists Association, has been inducted into the National Hall of Fame at the First Americans Museum on November 5th. So he's in the National Native American Hall of Fame, as he should be, and pretty excited to see that as somebody who reports on news here on Native Roots Radio. Robert, are you What do you got planned to talk with Robert Lilligren about today?
I don't know, but I just wanted to bring up the fact, because we're always having reservation dogs people on, is that they were voted just today, I think, by a national newspaper, the New York Times, is one of the top one of the top shows to watch on TV.
Yeah, one of the top 10, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And they were like number 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were doing awesome.
So that's some native news right there. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I don't keep up with those as well as I should, but I'm really glad to hear our relatives and, I don't know, your nephew, Bobby, is doing so well with writing for Reservation Dogs. And, you know, we have other relatives with the new show Wednesday, which is a Wednesday Addams or an Addams Family spinoff. It's a Latina actress, and our Latin relatives are very excited to see that as well. And that's doing really well in the reviews too. So excited to see a lot more inclusive media and people in those roles.
Absolutely. Hey, Pina Gigi Ogama for the news. Up next, Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute. And then what you've all been waiting for, Wendy with their sacred animal section. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, this is Robert Pilot here telling you about Minnesota Native American art. Did you know that Twin Cities is known for Native art? Well, if you're not familiar, then check out All My Relations Arts. It's a program that seeks to increase the visibility and value of these incredibly talented American Indian artists in all forms of art while honoring the history and the presence of indigenous cultures. And right now, All My Relations Arts is showcasing Rosie Seamus Dance, She Who Lives on the Road to War. This is an immersive installation dance performance created by Rosie Seamus in response to global loss and the collective need to come together in peace and reconciliation. She Who Lives on the Road to War is a place for visitors to rest, grieve, console, and meditate. Performances will take place through mid-December. Find the performance schedule at allmyrelationsarts.com. I love all the indigenous art here in the Twin Cities, and I hope you can enjoy it too. allmyrelationsarts.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, everybody. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Development Institute and All My Relations Art Gallery. It's December 1st today, and you need to know that limited performances are available until December 15th for Rosie Seamus Dance's performance at the All My Relations Gallery. It's called She Who Lives on the Road to War. And I have heard some reviews, everybody, and it sounds like it's beautiful. It's worth going to see. You can go to allmyrelationsarts.com to get your tickets.
Hey, Pina Gigi, it is definitely worth to see. I saw the opening night, and it was awesome, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're here with, he just left. No, just kidding. We're here with Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute. And I feel like the team's back together. We got Wendy here and Robert and Ogama and me. It's a full force today, Robert.
It's a reunion. Bonjour, y'all. It's good to be here.
Right on. Hey, so
yeah, I dropped one of my ear pods.
Uh-oh, I better get that.
There it is.
Me and Wendy will talk about something.
Yeah, those ear pods are, you can lose them like really easily.
I don't wear them. I used to wear them when I'd walk the neighborhood, and I lost one. I sneezed and one popped out of my ear, and I didn't know where the... I had the dogs with me. And
oh, it's really hard. I was folding laundry one day, and I lost one, and I couldn't find it anywhere, and I was putting the folded clothes away from the laundry, and there it was, like stuck inside a shirt.
Yeah, I think I have small ear channels or something. It's hard for me to keep them out, but they're in now.
Yep, they are. Hey, so we like to talk about national, local politics and what's happening on the Avenue. And I don't know. I just want to start out, Robert. It looks like Trump didn't get his way again. And I'm kind of like happy about that. You know, court ends in special master review.
Oh, the special master review, his 6 years of his tax returns have been given over to Congress. And this is all going on the record somewhere. You know, we might not see the fruits of all of this immediately, but it's building a record, right? And it'll influence 2024 elections, which is a very good thing.
Right. And, Wendy and I joke when we talk about this, it's just like I'd already been in jail. I'd have probably already had a couple of years under my belt if it was somebody like me doing all this.
Right, right. Yep. Justice is not equal here in this country, is it?
No, it's not. And we find that out. And we always say at the end of the show, free Leonard Peltier. And also, Robert, like Wendy always, and I brought this up the last time we were on, Wendy always like says, ask him what he wants to talk about. So I'm going to, in honor of Wendy listening to the show and being on the show tonight, I'm going to ask you, what would you like to talk about this segment?
Yeah. Thanks, Robert. And Wendy, thanks for being here. Robert behaves much better when you're actually here.
That's good to know.
Yeah. You know, I just love our conversations. But one thing I got to say as a two-spirit person, you know, the actions in our Capitol this week have been affirming. And I feel more included. I feel seen, you know. Marriage equality passed the Senate. It's a little different from the House bill, so it's got to go back to the House, but that'll pass. Speaker Pelosi has committed to a vote next week. And so, and then it goes right to the president's desk. So it'll be the law of the land. And as someone who's married to another man, that makes me feel good.
Yes. Yeah. Is it?
Yes.
Is,
I have relatives who, women who are married to women and they have beautiful families. Yeah. And why not? Why is this even a question?
Right.
This should not even be questioned.
Right. And the big question that it triggers for me is the legitimacy of our current Supreme Court.
Yes.
Right. And we know what their intent was. It was stated to eliminate marriage equality in this country. And, you know, I just wish they could move quickly on a lot of other things during this lame duck session.
Wasn't it like 62-37 or something like that? And it's like 37 people voted against that. I just want to throw that out there.
I want to know who they are. We could find out.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then you look at sort of demographics and where support for marriage equality is and what demographics of voters look like these days. And, you know, it's a losing issue to oppose politically, you know. Politics, elections are a numbers game, completely a numbers game. And the numbers are on the side of justice and fairness and equality. And so voting against this, Wendy, is exactly right. You know, it's an anti-justice vote. Mm-hmm. And it's going to lose elections. It'll lose elections.
Let it lose elections. That's all I have to say.
Wendy's on fire, Robert. Wendy's on fire.
I love it. I know she always is. Yeah, politically. Yeah. And I would, nothing would make me more satisfied than if Congress and D.C. could move on reproductive rights, right? Reproductive access, reproductive freedom before the lame duck. But again, another numbers game.
You know, I shouldn't say mixed feelings, but I have little mixed feelings that 37 people voted against it and also that we're bringing this up every few years. This has been a done deal and it's irritating. I guess that's my mixed feelings about it, is that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know me, I'm an optimist, right? So I would say 62 people voted for it.
Right. And that means 12 Republicans went over and voted in the right side of history again.
Yeah. And it was the same balance in the House. And I think we'll see that again as well. And there's been some House members who are talking about they've taken some heat in their districts, you know, that they're holding. And it's one of those bellwether kind of issues in votes where you really feel like, you know, there's a tide turning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel so too. And the next tide would be, and we talked a lot about this last couple of weeks or the last month, Robert, is that how a lot of Trump's candidates did not win. I think all of them didn't win nationally.
He had a couple, right? He had a couple here and there. But yeah, hopefully it's emboldening the leadership of that party. And it is. You're hearing some people speaking out, but we'll see once it gets up and running. That's why I think all this sort of criminal investigation and mm-hmm. investigations and things are so critical. And we all know he's a crook, right? And so now to actually establish it. And I'm wondering how long it'll be before those tax returns are leaked, right? Or at least make their way into the public. And I think it's going to be shocking once in those tax returns.
Well, we're going to know that. I think the things that we assumed, and one of them was that, you know, he couldn't get a loan in the United States and he had to go to Russia to get all these loans to secure his office buildings and all those things, and then overstating how much he was worth.
Right, right. And so that's when I said, you know, we know he's a crook, and not all real estate investors or whatever are crooked. There's honest and, you know, lots of them, but this guy is a bad operator. He made our whole nation vulnerable by making himself vulnerable to foreign powers, and people should know this, you know. And, you know, this last election, and we talked about this, I think, last week or after the selection, is it, to me, it kind of feels like stuff's going back in a box a little bit. And things, a little bit, right. And things that people were willing to say out loud because they were so emboldened by Trump and his ilk, you know, now it's not quite as acceptable to say that out loud in polite society, you know. And I, for one, think we're a better nation when people are a little bit more discreet about what they'll say out loud. And those things, mm-hmm. so things like this yay, you know, this Kanye West stuff and the Fuentes stuff, it is shocking and despicable, and we should call it that.
Right. And, you know, we talked about this many times, too. I put that, you know, I saw that baseball cap like the first year Trump was elected and said on the hat, it said, make racists afraid again. And, you know, hopefully what you're saying is happening because, you know, they have them stop voting again, too. Go back in your hole.
Yeah, right, right. Well, and that, you know, that's another thing we could talk about is who's voting, right? And what the electorate looks like. And someone posted the comment about young people and how they're making a difference, you know? And so you get to those 30 and under voters or potential voters, way more diverse of a population, way more informed than I know I was when I was their age.
You're here.
And they're motivated and, you know, it's their country, it's their future. Let them decide who's gonna run it.
Yeah, a great point. And the Gen Z's outnumbered the Boomers for the first time ever in the election. And I don't know, Robert, you kind of hit it on the head there too, because I remember my father being a union guy, and he never really sat down and said I should vote. He maybe suggested it, but it was not the big push that we have been talking about to our young ones for the last, I don't know, 20 years, is that they should go out and vote, and it does make a difference.
It makes a huge difference. I come from a labor family, too. Both my parents were former union members, or union. My dad retired from his union. About half my siblings, more than half, were union members, myself included. But the thing that my folks did that I appreciate so much today is even when I was a little kid, they took me to vote. They took me with them, you know. So I'd stand next to my ma and she went into the voting booth, you know. So that normalized that behavior. So folks with young people in their lives, take them with you. Get them to the polls, even if they're not voting it. They will be someday.
And I think that has been happening, and more so now with the new ones and the boomers bringing their kids and their grandkids to the polls and saying how important it is. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, and we're going to be right back and talk a little bit more.
Stay with us.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Hey,
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Coronavirus update. I'm Ben Thomas with an AP News Minute. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's COVID-19 tracker shows an average of more than 43,000 cases being reported daily, while deaths are trending downward, averaging 254 per day over the past week. Hospitalizations, however, are going in the opposite direction, daily admissions up to more than 4,200 across the country. Meantime, Governor Jim Justice is ending West Virginia's state of emergency over COVID-19 at the end of the year.
Justice had quietly issued a proclamation about it on November 12th, but waited until Wednesday to make a formal announcement, saying he saw no reason to make a great big hoopla about it. He says he held off ending the emergency so that officials could check that the state wouldn't lose out on any opportunities for federal money. Justice says the truth is the state of emergency doesn't affect a whole lot, and now we need to move on. The state ranks 31st in the country for new cases per capita, and in the last 2 weeks has seen a decrease of 14.6%. I'm Jennifer King.
And I'm Ben Thomas.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuck It stores or at untuckit.com. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
The holidays are here. Achieve gifting greatness when you give perfectly aged, tender, delicious Omaha steaks. The steak experts at Omaha Steaks have curated special gift packages to take the guesswork out of gifting and make you a holiday hero. At omahasteaks.com, use code SIZZLE at checkout for $30 off your order. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship, so shop early and beat the rush. Visit omahasteaks.com, use code SIZZLE at checkout to get that extra $30 off. Minimum.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The January 6th committee is now ready to get to work on its final report after hearing from Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss yesterday. Voss's meeting with the committee was the last scheduled deposition in the committee's investigation. In a statement, Voss says he answered the committee's questions about the 2020 election and maintains he was not involved in the attack on the Capitol in 2021. Darryl Brooks Jr. is appealing his convictions for killing six people and wounding dozens of others at the Waukesha Christmas Parade last year. Brooks represented himself at his trial, but now he's asking for help from the Public Defender's Office. Waukesha's Christmas Parade is scheduled to return Sunday for the first time since the attack. In sports, the Bucks beat the Knicks last night 109-103. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Here is a thank you. Just visit am950radio.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MinSure. If you need health insurance but don't know where to start, MinSure has free expert help that will walk you through your options and find a plan that saves you money. If you need health insurance, MinSure has a plan that covers your family. Visit mnsure.org to find free help.
Well, yeah, find free help. That's what I always say. Thank you, our new sponsor, Minsure, here on Native Roots Radio. And we are here with Robert Lilligren, the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute. And we always like to have a little chat with Robert about what's going on politically, because, you know, for you people that are just coming on, Robert was, Robert, you explain, you were the first,
ever elected to the Minneapolis City Council, and I was vice president of the Minneapolis City Council for a little over 12 years. And now I serve in our regional government here in Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area. It's a 7-county body called the Metropolitan Council, and I'm the first tribal citizen to serve on that body in its 50-year history. So,
And I grew up with your father, and we don't talk a lot about this because we're all our own people. And I know as a teacher, I never always brought up siblings or even parents, because I ended up teaching a long time. But I grew up with your father on WCCO radio and with my father.
Yeah, he was kind of a glass ceiling breaker for Native people. You know, he went into spaces that weren't really Native. He had a long and very successful career as an on-air personality. And interestingly, I was just talking about him this week because I met with a young Native man and who was looking for some guidance and mentoring around pursuing his passion, which is sound and sound engineering. And I don't think he even knew who my dad was, but I was telling him about my dad's, you know, business was sound and voices and things and just the things. And my dad was a really smart guy, And he would say these things. He would hear someone talk or maybe hear some sound mix or something, and he would make these off-the-cuff observations that were so deep and so informed and almost like profound. It was like, dang, Dad, you really know your business, you know.
Yeah, and also too, when he retired from radio, he was deep in the language and teaching language, and for many years after that.
Yeah, even when I was like a teenager, maybe around high school, so in the mid-70s or something, he would come down to the cities. We lived about a half hour north of Minneapolis, and he'd come down a couple times a week for language tables. My mom would make a big kettle of soup or chili or something. He would come in, but I will tell you, Robert and Wendy, that surprisingly young people still come up to me today and will say, oh, yeah, I was at language table with your dad back in the day, and he was so generous with his with his time and his knowledge. And he was super humble about his ability to speak Ojibwe, but he was a dang good speaker because he heard it. It was in his ear as a kid, you know.
Wow, yeah. And that, and his name was Chuck Lilligren.
Chuck Lilligren, yeah.
Yep, not Charles, not Charlie. Chuck Lilligren.
A White Earth member. Yep. He grew up just a few blocks from where I live today, here in just south of downtown Minneapolis, almost in downtown, in the Loring Park neighborhood, which was quite a Native neighborhood back in the day. I had a lot of family living there.
Well, it's funny. I talked to somebody that listens to our show, and what she was saying, it was really interesting. It was somebody that, well, I won't say who it was, but just how, you know, she's in the radio business, and just how we're all connected. And he taking, you know, the same last name and, you know, knowing you for the last 7-8 years and putting two and two together and going, oh, my God, your dad was Chuck. You know, those things happen all the time in Native country.
They do. I mean, we're a small community, right? Numerically a small but mighty community. So, and how often do you say it, and how many different languages, Native languages, do you hear it? We're all related, we're all relatives.
Well, I know when it comes to Ho-Chunk, we joke about it, but we're also serious, because for colonization, we were down to 700 members. So we literally are related. You know, I'm related. I looked on Ancestry.com, and Charisse Davids is like my fifth cousin. Never knew that.
Sure.
So, you know,
that makes sense.
It's like,
that makes sense. Yeah.
And I reminded her when I said it, and she was, what? That's cool.
Okay. Keep reminding her.
Yeah, but it's cool how we're all connected, and people that are all out and about in the community, like you are, and I tried to get out there. That you know, we all are like related in that way too.
Yeah, you're out in community a lot, forever. You see it everywhere. So I appreciate that for sure.
Well, and then we got, I don't know if you're going to the Chamber of Commerce. That's Friday.
I was just going to ask you that.
Yes, I'm going there with John Otto's business. Wendy's not going to go because she doesn't want to watch me kibitz with all these people, but I don't blame her, right, Wendy?
So for folks who aren't from Minnesota, we have, it's the Minnesota American Indian Chamber of Commerce. They do a huge annual event, kind of a gala, silent auction. It's a great event. And here's the thing, Robert. I have a ticket for the Chamber's event, but I'm not going. I'm giving it to one of my board members at NACTI because I have tickets to two galas on the same night.
Wow.
And I had to pick one, and the other one is the Human Rights Campaign Gala, which I haven't been to for years. And I'm invited to be at our Congresswoman's table, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar.
Oh.
And I'm a huge supporter and huge fan. And she's invited me, her people have invited me to a couple things lately that I've had to say no to. And I feel like if I say no to this one, I'm going to be off the list. Right.
No, I hear you.
So you'll see some NACTI folks there. You know.
Right on.
I can't be in here.
Yeah, well, you'll be missed and it'll be a lot of fun. I know, back to Ilhan, I remember, well, when she ran for, what did she run for before? She was
a House, Minnesota House representative.
Yeah, she took Khan's spot, who was, right?
No, she didn't take Khan's spot, but, and I'm trying to remember her district, and all of a sudden I can't.
Yeah.
But
I heard her. So, I heard her on the radio, and I was going, she's brilliant. And she won that seat, and then she went on after, I think it was Al Franken resigned, and then Tina went, you know, things got shifted around, and then she ran. She'd been on her show, and we talked about a few things, and she really wasn't, she was really a good guest, but this was early in her career, and she wasn't really on top of it. But I can say right now, when it came to, like, Native issues, she's really on top of it now, and I really, really always enjoy seeing her.
I appreciate her so much. Yeah, so she ran for Congress when Keith Ellison stepped down.
Yeah.
For Attorney General here in Minnesota. And she was around the Native community before she was even in politics, you know. And
yeah.
I knew her for her activism. And, of course, I was a Phillips guy. And so, you know, busy around Phillips, which has a huge Somali population. So I got to know her. And then she went into City Hall and worked for a city council member. And so I knew her through that and then supported her in her state house race and in her congressional race. And this is the thing I really respect about Ilhan Omar, is that she shows up in the Native community even when she's not invited, and right. not to speak, not to get, you know, a microphone in her hand, you know. And when I see her at community events and things, I always go, oh, Congresswoman, do you want to speak address the crowd? She's like, no, I'm just here to be in the community and to connect with people. And to me, that's a level of authenticity
Absolutely.
That you don't see in a lot of people. And I know she's not universally, you know, she always has these tough races. She's not universally supportive within the district even. But I will point out that this last election, she won by the highest margin of any Minnesota congressperson, with the highest vote count of any Minnesota congressperson. So that says something, in the district with the lowest voter turnout.
Wow, so that is amazing. And I think the last time I saw her, too, was at the Sunrise Service at Bedote, I believe.
Bede McCosker. Was that Bede
McCosker? No, right. Thank you. And she just kind of pulled in there with a mask on and was, like, really low-key. And I had to let the LaPointe brothers know that she was there because they called out all the great politicians that were there.
Yep, I saw you walk up to the LaPointe brothers who were sort of holding the ceremony and six, and I figured that's what you're saying, because if you hadn't done it, I would have. Because again, she won't put herself forward like that, you know. So I was glad to see that you did that. So McGwich for that.
Yeah, and McGwich for and Pina Gigi for supporting her, because I think when, especially the people that are angrier with her across the country and the squad and all that, those people aren't on the right side of history, and so it's really good to be on the right side of the history and enjoy her of who she is.
It is. I'm looking forward to Friday when I get to spend some time with her And I'll be thinking of you guys at the Minnesota American Indian Chamber of Commerce dinner, because that is always a good time.
Yeah, definitely. We got a couple minutes left. What else would you like to talk about?
Well, the other thing that I think is so interesting, and during the break, I was looking for this article I was reading today that had good statistics, and I couldn't find it. But is this conversation that at least the National Democratic Party is moving to eliminate Iowa as the first sort of decider in a presidential race. And it has a lot to do with Iowa's demographics, right? It's over 90% white. It doesn't really reflect the country or the electorate, for sure. It's older and whiter than the broader electorate. And so it seems like it's an unusual and maybe unhelpful place to put so much investment in making that first decision. And so Minnesota and Michigan are two of the top contenders to be first. And we're closer to the national demographic. You know, some would argue, I would argue, Michigan is kind of a big state, and that might be a little resource intensive. So that kind of lift up maybe Minnesota's chances. But also they both have trifectas, Democratic trifectas in their states. So the laws that would need to be passed to effectuate the first bite of the presidential apple could be put in place. So stay tuned. It's just about to be decided. It kind of looks more like Michigan, but I'm not ruling out Minnesota because I know those Minnesota Party folks are working it.
Wow, that would be great. Thank you, Robert. And that would be great because, 4 years ago or 3 years ago, we went down there for prior to Iowa's caucus, we went down there for the presidential forum, and maybe they'll have the presidential forum here in Minnesota then if we have.
Wouldn't that be something?
All right. Well, hey, have a good time tomorrow in Pinigigi for all you do and for coming on. As always, really enjoy our conversation.
Back at y'all. Thanks so much.
All right. Hey,
Right on.
That was Robert Lilligren of the Native American Community Development Institute. And now, what we're all waiting for, up next, Wendy with our sacred animal section.
Stay with us.
This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MNsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MNsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MNsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNsure.org. MNsure.org.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howling. Ooh, good one. Good one. Good one, everyone. That's a staple of our show is Howling for Wolves. Mm-hmm. Wait, Howling for Wolves.
That's right.
Well, you know what I mean. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years. And we speak since the year one, day one of Native Roots Radio. We talk about our sacred animals. So take it away, Wendy.
Hey, everybody. Hi. I'm happy to be here tonight. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure to do that.
How?
That's right. So Howling for Wolves has supported Native Roots Radio also from day one.
Yes.
Their awesome organization. Dr. Maureen Hackett is the founder and president of Howling for Wolves. And I'm really excited to talk about what they're doing on February 7th. And I'm going to ask people to save the date. So Tuesday, February 7th, 2023 is going to be Wolf Day. At the Minnesota State Capitol, and I'm really excited to sign up. I already signed up to go there on February 7th. And what this event is we're going to be able to talk about the wolves, why it's important to save the wolves, why it's important to stop a wolf hunt. Everybody out there who lives in Minnesota can come to the Minnesota State Capitol, or you could sign up and do a virtual visit if you don't feel comfortable coming to the State Capitol to talk to your senators and representatives about why you feel it's important to save our Minnesota wolves. And I'm really excited about it because I've done this in the past for Wolf Day and for Humane Lobby Day, which I do for the Humane Society of the United States every year. And it's a really fun and empowering day where you meet people who are like-minded and you make new friends. And you're going to check in on February 7th after you sign up at 10 a.m. at the Minnesota State Capitol. They're going to have great guest speakers, including Dr. Maureen Hackett, who, is the founder of Howling for Wolves.
Oh.
An organization fighting to protect wolves for future generations. That's right. One of the guest speakers I'm excited to tell you about is Dr. Michael W. Fox. And he's been involved from the very beginning to protect wolves. And he's also a veterinarian. So he is very well versed and knows why it's important to save our wolves. Howling for Wolves also has the greatest little, I don't know, what do you call it? A logo. So it's the non-lethal keep the pack intact. I love that. So listen, everybody, go on. We have the link to sign up for Wolf Day on our Facebook page. And right now, if you're listening and you're watching on Facebook Live, you could just find the information, or you could just Google Wolf Day at the Capitol, Howling for Wolves, and it pops right up, and you just have to click on the link, fill in your information. They're going to serve lunch, which is awesome, and you also get a Howling for Wolves t-shirt, and you could just say what size you want.
Extra large,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, you pick the size you want, and go. And it's really awesome, because you meet with your state senator. So I would meet with Erin Murphy, and I would go in either by myself or hopefully with a group of people. And here's the thing, when your representatives and senators see a group of people who care about the same thing coming in and talking about this, they know it's important. So when it comes across their desk, they're like, oh yeah, that's right, I had 20 people in my office talking about this, or oh, I had, you know, 10 phone calls about this, or oh, I had this amount of people show up in the rotunda at the state capitol. This is really important to my constituents, and this is something I need to look at and care about, because they can't know everything. Your state senators and representatives don't know what's important to you until you let them know. And also, I'm going to put this out for Maureen Hackett that I will be there on February 7th. And what I've done in the past for the Humane Lobby Day is to help people. Let's say it's a one person going in to see their legislator or their senator. And sometimes it's really intimidating if you've never done this before and it's kind of scary and people don't want to do it. I would volunteer and go with them to their appointment and just be there to help them along and answer any questions that they have. So I would cool. I would do that. No problem for Wolf Day. Again, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023. It starts at 10 o'clock. You check in and then the day goes by and has lots of great stuff, lunch and speakers, and you'll meet with your senator and legislator.
Tuesday the 7th.
Yeah. Put it in your calendar and mark the day. So I'm really excited about that.
I'm excited about another t-shirt. Thanks,
yeah. Man. I don't have that much time left, but I just wanted to give some like fun facts about wolves.
Hey.
You know, once a wolf has found a mate, they tend to stay together for better or worse. Robert, that's better than some people, right?
Yeah.
Through sickness and in health, often until death do them part. Of course, it's typical only the alpha male and female that breed. So that's normally what happens in a pack. So here's the thing. Let's say they have a trophy hunt, right? And the hunters go out and they kill the wolves indiscriminately. They don't know who the male and female alpha, ones that are the alpha and who only mate, right? So they kill the alpha male or the alpha female, and then that breaks up the pack. Not only, is the other animal sad because their mate is gone and dead, but now the other members of the pack will mate, and then you make more wolves, right?
Wow.
Exactly. So this is one of the reasons why it's important not to kill our wolves.
Right.
And you know what? Wolves will die for each other. In addition to the trend toward monogamy, wolves develop such strong social bonds for their family and other loved ones. They have been known to sacrifice themselves for the survival of the pack and the family unit. That's more over Romeo and Juliet. Right?
Yeah.
And it's all about the howl. Perhaps the most well-known characteristic of the gray wolf is its penetrating, hauntingly beautiful howl. And we try to mimic that every day when we introduce Howling for Wolves. This is primarily a communication tool both between lone wolves and their pack, as well as between packs. When it comes to territory, interpact howling will determine the size and strength of different packs, often determining whether or not to attack or retreat. So they use that howl as an important communication tool.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's keep the pack intact. Everybody sign up Tuesday, February 7th, 2023 at the Minnesota State Capitol.
Yeah, excellent. And then get helped by Wendy going to see your senator and representative.
Definitely.
She'll hold your hand and teach you the good way, because you've been doing this for years.
Yeah, I've been doing it quite a few years.
Wow.
And it's really fun.
It's exciting, too, and I'll add a t-shirt to my collection. I appreciate that, Wendy.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for Robert Lilligren, Ogama, and our intern in the background doing all the background stuff. We really appreciate Ayana. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay with us.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota Style 12 Grain, Multigrain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.